Anybody? No, we're all, every single one of us is going to die. We looked at Scripture and considered what happens when a saved person dies. We learned that Scripture tells us of many sights the saved will see, the crystal streams, the trees that produce several fruits year-round, the walls of pearl studded with gems, the roads made with purest of gold. We learned that there would be praises unto God like we've never heard here on this earth. That a time was coming when all of creation, everything that God created, will praise Him and we'll all be a part of these praises. We also learned that much, if not most, of what we will experience in heaven is not seen, nor will we see it until we get home to heaven. We also learned, church, that there is only one way to experience heaven, and that's by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's only one way to heaven, and that is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. There we go. That's a little better. Now, today, we're going to explore the other end of the spectrum. Now, we talked about last week what happens to a Christian when they die. This week, we're going to look at the other end by considering what will happen to a lost person when they die. Anybody in here not going to die apart from Jesus' rapture in the church? Anybody? So listen, there's only two types of people that are going to die. Those who are saved and those who are lost. Right? There's no in between. There's not a message to be preached next week, Dan, that I'm going to be able to stand up here and preach for those who aren't sure. Because if those of you who aren't sure about your salvation, you might want to just go ahead and listen to this one here this morning a little close. Okay? There's not going to be a maybe sermon. Could be, well, I'm pretty good. I'm better than Joe. I'm better than most Christians. There's no, listen, those sermons aren't coming. Don't anticipate them coming in next week or the week after the week after. There are lost people and there are saved people. Now, if last week didn't apply to you, you might want to pay attention to this week. Look at Mark chapter 9. We're going to start reading in verse 43. What happens when a lost person dies? Verse 43 says, "And if your hand causes your downfall, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, where the unquenchable fire and where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes your downfall, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two feet and be thrown into hell, the unquenchable fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if your eyes cause your downfall, gouge them out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but the salt should lose its flavor. How can you make it salty? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God, this is a very serious message. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to sit still, sit quiet, pay attention, no sleeping, no playing on the phones. God, we'll pay attention to the word that's being preached, not because of the preacher, because of the word. God, just so illuminate our minds. Holy Spirit, please move amongst us. Lord, if there's one here this morning who does not know you as their personal Savior, God, I pray that you'll get their attention right now, this morning. None of us are here this morning by chance or by circumstance. Lord, we're here because you brought us here this morning. Have our eyes open that we might see you and see ourselves the way you see us, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, I've heard many people over the years say this: preachers don't preach about hell anymore. You might be sitting here this morning and be one of them that said, you know, I just don't hear preachers preaching about hell anymore. Well, this morning, you're going to hear your preacher preach on hell. So you can't say that. All right? Are you ready? Are you sure? Are you awake? Do you need to pinch you? Or, you know, somebody pinch yourself, right? You awake. Now, what happens when a lost person dies? And again, we've established this twice, but let's do it one more time. If you are a lost person, you are going to die. Now, a saved person can sometimes say, well, you know, I'm not going to die. We might die a physical death, and we have great anticipation that we might not even, Brother Steve Blake, I might not even face a physical death. If Christ raptures the church, I'm not going to die. If you don't accept Christ as your personal Savior and you don't have the promise of being raptured, you are most definitely 100%. We'll even embellish it a little bit. Miss Desi, 110% you are going to die a physical death. Guaranteed, if you're lost. Well, what happens to a lost person when they die? As I stated last week, I believe that I can support with Scripture that every person, when they die, stands before the Lord. Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. Every person who's ever lived is going to heaven for a short period of time. They will, with their eyes, see the beauty and majesty of heaven. I believe for a short while, these people will smell the sweet fragrance that fills the air in my home in heaven. They will see the angels and all of God's created beings when they go and they stand before my Jesus at my home in heaven. I believe the lost will hear the sounds of praise and worship of a thousands upon thousands voice choir singing praises unto God. I believe an almost euphoric sensation fills their souls as this place where their souls desire to be. This is where their soul longs to be. This is where their soul was created to be, and they have chosen, had they chosen to accept Jesus as their Savior while they were on the earth. Now think with me, church. Scripture does say that every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And they're going to do that. Jesus isn't going to hell. They're going to do it standing in front of Him in heaven. Amen? Think with me here for a second. This lost person, they never accepted Christ. They had heard the gospel, maybe. But they rejected the gospel. But yet now they're standing in heaven in front of Jesus. I wonder what they're thinking. Bob, as I prepared this message, I just tried to put myself in their position. And I firmly believe that there's two things that are just filling their heart. Fear and anticipation. Because heaven is a place of all-knowing. And when you get in heaven, whether you're lost or saved, and you stand before Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are going to know all things. And you're going to know whether you've accepted Him or not. Before you hear the words, I believe you're going to know. So as you stand there, you're going to feel a fear. A fear of what? A fear of knowing what's coming next. An anticipation. You might have an anticipation, Steve, of being able to defend yourself and say, look, you know, Jesus, I know that according to Scripture, I did not accept you as my personal Savior. I did not. But please, you know, I want to give you my case. This is why I didn't. I was abused as a child. My dad was a drunk. I hung around with the wrong people, the wrong crowd. I got messed up, and you just give all these excuses. And you might have some great excuses, but they're not going to be any good when you stand before Jesus. None of the excuses are going to be worth anything when you stand before Jesus. You have to accept Him here while you have breath in this shell that God has given you. You have to accept Him now, right here. You cannot and you will not be given the opportunity, according to Scripture. Please understand, this is not my opinion. When you take your last breath here on this earth, if you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, it's too late. You can't do it when you stand before Him. You'll have the opportunity here in a few minutes to stand before Him down here at this altar and accept Him this morning as your personal Savior. And I hope that if you're here this morning and you're lost, you'll do that. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for a lost person to stand before Jesus. But can I tell you, right now, there's probably a lost person standing before Jesus, doing everything we just talked about, standing with fear and great anticipation, not knowing. Their visit, the lost person's visit to heaven, is short-lived as they stand before Jesus in silence. There will be no speaking on their behalf. The lost are only in heaven long enough to hear the verdict handed down to them from the lips of the one who loved them the most. You realize that the person who loved you the most in all this world is going to give this verdict. They will hear the words that will forever echo in their minds throughout all eternity. They'll see the perfect face of Jesus, pucker his lips and look at them and say, "Depart from me, I know you not." Those are words that I believe that many of you here this morning are going to hear as well. Many of you Sunday morning Christians are going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Can that sink in for a minute? I believe that many Sunday morning Christians, the only time that you feel compelled to come to church is Sunday morning. If Sunday morning, I believe that you're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I know you not." Those are words that I believe that many are going to hear. Now, you might be saying, through the motion, you've gone through the motions of knowing what is right and saying the right words, but you just to make your mother or your dad get off your back. You do not and will not be saved. You won't accept him. Now, you mean to tell me that you're saved? You're sitting here this morning and you say you're saved and you have no desire to learn more about Jesus? You're satisfied. Church, I'm not trying to put myself on a plateau and I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else. But since I got saved, I've had an unquenchable desire to learn more about Jesus. To know more about him. I feel confident that I have read the entire Bible. But I can also tell you that I don't ever have a desire to set my Bible on a shelf and not read it anymore. The more I learn, the more I study, the more I pray, the more I understand that I don't know and I want to know. I want to know. You mean to tell me that you can come to church on a semi-annual basis with no hunger and desire for the Word of God, and yet you're saved? You can't tell me the last time that you did anything for Jesus, and you want to tell me that you're saved? Sunday morning Christian. You won't serve on any committee. You won't do anything. You won't work in Bible school. You won't work in the nursery. You won't work in the prayer room. You won't work in Awana. You just sit here. You come and sit here and do nothing. But you're saved. Or listen, let me ask you this, Sunday morning Christian. When was the last time you opened your Bible outside the walls of this church? When was the last time? You mean to tell me that you say that you're saved by the same grace of God that I am, and you have no desire to open God's Word to learn more? You have no hunger and thirst for the Word of God, and you think that you're saved. Oh, yeah. Brother Steve Blake, I believe there's Sunday morning Christians all over the world right now sitting in churches. Not in just Savannah, not just in Georgia. Not just in the United States. Listen, I believe that there are Christians who call themselves Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who are sitting in service. They know all the songs. They'll raise their hand. They might even get a tear. But there is evidence in their lives they're not truly saved. When the lost person is told to leave the presence of Christ in heaven, when he says, "Depart from me, I know you not," where is it that you think that these people go? Have y'all ever thought about it? Now, get with me. They're here on this earth. They take their last breath, whether it's in a hospital room, in a car, backseat of a car, wherever they are, they're where they are, and they exhale their last breath, Mr. Crawford, and their eyes are closed. There's no more life in their body. they open their eyes and they are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to give them the verdict of where they're going. Where is it that they go when he says, depart from me, I know you not? Where do they go? Church, there's no safe place or time out recorded in Scripture. There's no mention, please listen to me, there's absolutely no mention of a place called purgatory anywhere in the Bible I've ever read. And I've read several different Bibles, several different versions. If somebody's seen purgatory or heard word purgatory, please let me know after the service. Anybody? Anybody? No. There's no mention of a place called purgatory. Then where do they go then? They are escorted to a place they have chosen. To a place where they have spent their whole life on earth believing that's not real. And the very moment they are told to depart from the presence of Christ, these lost souls are in their place, their new place of residence, where they will spend all of eternity, a place called hell. Now, you might be sitting there saying, right, hold on here. I don't believe in hell. That doesn't mean that it's not real and you're not going. Amen. I don't believe there's an eternal hell. You keep believing it. Doesn't mean you're not going. Listen, when this happens, when Jesus says, depart from me, I know you not, and the very nano of a second that they depart from him and they wind up in their eternal home, which is hell, every sense in their being is awakened like never before. Now you remember, Brooke, they had just stood in the presence of heaven and all their senses, Becky, they were open. They could smell the fragrance of heaven. They could hear the choir singing. That they could see with their own eyes the majesty in heaven. All their senses were there. I believe they felt the coolness of the air conditioning in heaven too. Amen? But all of a sudden, in a nano of a second, their senses are recalibrated. Is that right? Recalibrated. Thank you, Brooke. Thank you, Brooke. Recalibrated to a new place, their eternal home, which is hell. Wonder what that's like. Wonder what it's like. Every sense in their body at the same time experiences the fullness of hell. Now, I really don't have but one way that I tried to think of a way I could illustrate this. We have in the house that we live in this room that's upstairs. The majority of the houses, I mean, all the rest of the house is downstairs, just one level. But this one room, it's like a big room over the garage, is upstairs. And we have the TV up there, and we have a couple recliners, and that's where Amy and I like to go up there and watch TV and just relax. And something crazy. There's three vents up there. And in the summertime, y'all, it's 2 degrees from hell up there. We open the door and put a baby gate so the dogs can't go up there, but, you know, it just takes forever to cool down. But in the wintertime, Kyle Jr., just a couple days ago, he came home from work, and he was cold. And he cut the heat on. And the heat wasn't on, but like, I don't know, 65. And downstairs, it was 65. Up those stairs, it was 165. So listen, you're downstairs and you're comfortable. I mean, I'm in a pair of shorts and I've got socks on, you know, just little, you know, ankle socks, and have a long sleeve shirt on, maybe have my ball cap on. And as I'm walking up the stairs, Jeff, I get, you know, first two, there's 13 steps. That's the ADD, y'all. 13 steps. And I get to about the third step, and I'm good. I'm just like, yeah, hey, I'm good. You get to the fourth step, and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. You get to about the eighth step, and you can start feeling the temperature. You hit the tenth step, and you're just like, oh, should I go downstairs and turn the fan on and circulate? You get to 13, and it's just like cooking bacon in the oven, man. I mean, it's hot. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I'm not going to have this physical body. I'm not going to feel heat and cold the way you're talking about. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. We're going to get to that here in a second. What is hell like? What does Scripture tell us that hell is like? Now, I've heard not so smart people. You know what that is, right? Dumb people, right? Not so smart people throughout the years make statements like this. I know I'm going to hell. I'd rather go to hell and party with my friends than go to heaven and be with a bunch of Christian prudes. Any of y'all ever heard that before? If you've ever been a witness to some of your friends, I'm sure you have. Church, listen. People really think that hell is going to be a one nonstop party, and I'm really not sure where they find this information from. Because where I get from my information from, and that's the Bible, where I get my information from, listen, let's see if we can see any parties going on in hell this morning. Y'all ready? We see in Mark, the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 9, 44 and 46, the verse and verse 48, the phrase, their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. Now, how do you spell that there in that scripture? T-H-E-I-R. Now, listen, I promise y'all, especially y'all who come on Wednesday night, y'all know that I'm not an English major. Y'all look at my outlines and say, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody who goes home with a red pen and grades that outline every week. I really do. I'm not an English major. But y'all, Brother Frank, I know what that means. You see, when it says T-H-E-I-R, that means that it is their person. They're personal. Did y'all get that? It says, let's just read it again. Verse 44 says, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. Again, in verse 45 at the end, it says, their worm does not die and their fire, the fire is not quenched. Again, in verse 48, their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You know, I'm going to take a leap of faith here. Do you know when I was a child, my mom would tell me something, or my dad would tell me something one time. And Miss Peggy, when my dad told me to do something, it better be done. Really. It ain't like it is, you know, today. Y'all parents are afraid to beat your kids. Y'all know it's scriptural, right? But when Dad said to do something, I was too scared not to do it. But, you know, he'd give us a list, and sometimes he would do this as he's walking out the door. Mr. Taylor, he'd say, remember where I gave you that list? You better not. And he'd point something out on the list. He'd say, you better not forget to go out back and hoe the garden today. Okay? Now, from time to time, the phone would ring during the day. And Dad had already given me a list and told me, you know, before he walked out of the house, he pointed something out. But he'd call during the day and he said, what are y'all doing? Well, we just cooked a pizza and we've made some French fries and we're watching Days of Our Lives in the living room. We're just relaxing. Why, Dad? Why are you calling? I just called to remind you that you better have that garden hoed when I get home. Now, listen. We already talked about being smart in English, but I mean, let's try to, you know, do some math here. How many times did my dad tell me to hoe that garden? Well, three, remember? He wrote the list. He told me as he was walking out the door. Now he called me, and three times he's told me to hoe that garden. Now, listen, I want y'all to understand something. If that garden ain't hoed, Miss Catherine, when my daddy comes home, there's going to be some hoeing going on, but it's not going to be the garden. Did y'all notice that Jesus said this three times? He said it three times because he wanted it understood. He wanted every person who reads this and the people that he was talking to that day to perfectly understand. Listen, this is the way it is. I don't want you to misunderstand anything that I'm saying. And he might have even the third time said, Steve, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Y'all know how your parents did that? Because they want to get the point across and help them to understand. So let's real, you know, just quickly, let's start with their worm. Miss Dorcas, this is their personal worm. Now, it might be, I don't know. When a lost person gets to hell, there's a welcome committee of demons standing there waiting on them. And as their body is readjusting and refocusing to everything that's taking place, and they're trying to adjust to the heat and the smells and the filth and the nastiness that's taking place, they're met by this welcoming committee that's really not so welcoming. And at this point in time, the demons look at this new person who walks in the and through the gates of hell and says, listen, congratulations, you've made it to hell. We have a few things that we want to give to you when you first walk in the door. This is your personal worm. Now, please understand, this isn't something that sits in a cage. This isn't like a hamster in your classroom or a turtle in a box with half water and some rocks to climb on. This is a personal worm. And this worm eats at your body nonstop, constantly, for all eternity. Y'all have seen them scary movies. I've seen them on TV, and I turned it. I don't know how in the world y'all people can watch a scary movie and sleep. I like to sleep. I don't get enough sleep. Gary, we don't get enough sleep. Can you imagine watching these scary movies? No. And they're demonic. But I've seen the commercials when they're advertising, and you'll see them. Like there was one, The Mummy years ago. Y'all remember those little scarabs that were running on the ground and they'd run up in your leg and they'd get up under your skin and they'd move around? I mean, they'd eat you inside. Listen, I don't know. I don't need to go inside. No, don't want that. But Scripture says they have a personal worm, and it's not their friend. It's not a bookworm. This is a flesh-eating worm. If you look at the word, it very closely resembles, guess what? A maggot. A maggot eats flesh until the flesh is gone. Well, that means, hey, listen, there's got to be a point in time where all my flesh is gone. No, it's not. Not in hell. So you've got a worm eating your body that you cannot kill, that never dies, never stops eating. Now, listen, how many of y'all every summer, you're out in your front yard and you walk around and you see this mound in your front yard of sand, and you think to myself, oh, I've got fire ants. And you walk over there, Miss Tina, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I've got two mounds of fire ants. Hallelujah. And you walk over there and you take your shoe and your sock off, and you just brush the top of it off. And about that time, Brother Frank, you stick your whole foot down in there. And you're just like, oh, hallelujah. I mean, you just love it. Right? Anybody do that? Absolutely not. Those fire ants, they don't play. They really don't play. They are evil little creatures. I wear flip-flops just about all the time in the summertime unless I'm preaching. I mean, I wear flip-flops with blue jeans and a nice shirt to the office. Some of y'all have a problem with that. Y'all need to see Jesus. Jesus wore flip-flops. But every now and then, I won't be paying attention to where I'm walking, Mr. Taylor. And I'll just be sitting there minding my own business. And I don't feel one or two. No. It's like you brush the pile and you're standing there talking to somebody. And Cameron, they say, okay, hey. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. We've got a perpetrator out here on the mound. Y'all, though, in the south sector, I want y'all to go ahead and form a left flank and go up the pant leg. Those of you who are in the south section, go up the right pant leg. And listen, one of them doesn't climb on and start biting. They wait till there's about 100 on you. and one of them blows a bugle. I can't hear it, Craig. I don't hear it, but a bugle is being blown, and they all simultaneously at one time just light you up. They call them fire ants because they light you on fire. And then a dance persists, right? I had an eighth grade teacher, y'all. She wasn't all that. I mean, she was an attractive lady, but she wasn't all, you know what I'm saying? Listen, what fire ants, I didn't even know what a fire ant was. Really didn't. We walk into class one time, and Miss Lindsay was her name, and she started teaching the class, and she did like this, Phil. She went, ooh. We're like, that's kind of odd. So she kept on teaching. She said, ooh, ooh. And we're like, whoa. Then she started, whoa. And I wasn't a Christian then, but I'd gone to my grandmother's church, and, you know, they experienced the Holy Ghost, and they believe in slaying in tongues. I figured, well, she must be a Pentecostal or something. I mean, whoa, whoa. I mean, just go. And then she starts taking clothes off. And I'm seeing some of my classmates reaching there for their wallets, and I'm like, no, don't do that. No, they were going to start throwing dollars, I guess. I don't know. But she runs out of the class, Bob, and leaves us by ourselves, and we're just like, oh, yeah, what in the world's going on? This woman's tripping out. Come to find out, it was two or three fire ants. It's just an ant, y'all. It's just a little ant. Steve, it's just a spider. I mean, listen, I don't like snakes. I don't. But I've killed snakes before. I mean, I'll go at them. Kill them. You know why? Because when they're dead, right? You take that, I mean, after you're dead, their body's still moving, but you just whoosh, throw it in the woods, it's dead. What are you getting at, Brother Kyle? The worm does not die. You cannot kill the worm. You can't see the worm from a distance and go over there and say, okay, well, I'm going to keep you from, you know, climbing in my wife's bed or hiding somewhere or recreate. Listen, you can't kill the worm. You cannot, nothing you do, nothing you take, no doctor you go to, no many times you press, you push, you pull, you cannot kill the worm. You can't find a rock or a knife or something in hell and cut your body open, which I imagine some people will try to do to relieve themselves of the gnawing and eating this worm is doing, cut themselves to try and pull that worm out. Because look, when that worm comes out and you throw it on the ground, it's going to look at you and say, oh, buddy, it's not how it works down here in hell, and it's going to jump right back on you and start eating. These are the kind of worms that, Brother Kyle, you ever seen one? Nope, and I'm not going to. I've chosen a different path. But those of you who are lost this morning, you're going to have your own personal worm. Well, you know, there's something else you're going to have. You're going to have your own personal fire. I saw on Facebook, Amy, I said, y'all, I saw y'all had that little pit out back, and y'all were out there with your friends celebrating his 40th birthday, right, this past weekend. And listen, we used to love to go camping, and we first thing we'd do, we'd get there, I'd be setting up the tent and everything else, and Amy would have the kids, they'd go get the firewood. Y'all know some of y'all are campers, and we'd light that fire. And Amy and I, we'd love to just sit by the fire and watch the fire, and we talk, and kids love to find stuff and throw it in the fire. You know, like pine cones and a whole bunch of pine straw and rocks and batteries. Y'all, don't throw a battery in the fire. You remember that? Don't throw a battery in the fire. I'm not talking about a car battery. I mean, that'd be real bad. I'm talking about just a little small battery. Y'all know why? They explode in the fire. Y'all don't go home and do that now. Don't you say, oh, Brother Kyle said it's fun. No, I did not say that. But we used to love, I mean, watch the smoke go up in there and see the stars in the sky, and you could, you know, feel the coolness in the air, but the fire right there in front of you. That's not what we're talking, that's not what Scripture's talking about here. It's really not. Some of the craziest people I've ever seen in all my life are people who try to walk on them fires. You ever seen them? They have like a path from like here to Jeff, and they sitting here like this right here. I guess they're trying to get their aura on. I don't know what they're doing. They're barefooted and have their pants leg, Miss Dorcas, rolled up. And they're sitting there and they're talking to themselves and they're doing stuff like this right here. And about that, you don't know when it's going to happen. They don't say ready, set, go, 1, 2, 3, drop, shoot the gun, nothing like that. They just start taking off. They do this right here. And they walk across that fire. And they'll tell you it didn't hurt a bit. John, I'm not going to try that. I'm really not. I like fire, but I don't, this is a crazy thing. Griffin, I don't know if you can relate to this. This is crazy. I don't like pain. I don't. Now, I mean, I've never, stuck my hand in a gallon of gasoline and said, I want to see if I like fire. Stuck my hand in gas and said, hey, I'm going to light it on fire. Just see what, I'm going to see if I can take it. I've never done that. I've never, gouged myself in the eyeball. I've never said, I wonder what it feels like to poke a pencil in my eyeball. Any of y'all ever done that? Scripture says that this is your personal fire, and it's not ever going to go out. Well, that's a good thing. I don't ever have to light it. I hate relighting fires. No, that's not what I'm saying here. It's never going to go out. It's never going to stop burning you. Day in, day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, you are going to be burning. Well, the body's going to burn up. Not this body. Not this body. It's a different body. And we'll talk about that here in a second. So you've got your own personal worm, own personal fire. Listen, it's agony over and over and over and over. And it's never stopping, never ending. Now, let me just give you some other scriptural phrases that describes the party that's going on in hell right now. These are scriptural phrases. Y'all listening? Fire and brimstone. Furnace of fire. Judgment by fire. Fiery oven. Lake of fire. Eternal punishment. Pits of darkness. Flames of fire. Burning wind. Unquenchable fire, judgment by fire. Brother Kyle, you're just trying to scare us into making the decision for Jesus. I wish to God I could. I do. I wish to God I could scare you into making a decision for Jesus. Can I tell you that when I realized the truth about hell, it was a whole lot easier to make a decision to accept Jesus as my personal Savior? Listen, I came to the stark realization that I did not want to go to hell. And I hope just by this little bit of what you're hearing this morning, that you've realized you might have punched your neighbor or punched your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife and says, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. Listen to me. You don't have to. You don't have to. But if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to. But there's more about hell that you need to know. You need to know who all is going to be in hell right now. And who's going to be joining you there? Revelation 21:8 says this, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts. Let's hit that one again because we live in a day that we kind of embellish and listen, it's okay for Johnny to read so-and-so and this and that. It's okay. It's just a book. Listen, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers and all liars, those will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. That list is pretty complete. He didn't say anything about me. I'm a good guy. I'm a whole lot better than Bart at work, and he says he's a Christian. Listen, if you don't accept Jesus, it says that's who you are going to be there with. How many of y'all would go buy a house? Jennifer and Jeff, y'all bought a house a few years ago. When y'all bought a house and you found a realtor, did you get on the governmental website and go to the pedophile page and say, look, there's a pedophile that lives at 1423 Jones Street. Let's move right next door to him. Anybody, when you moved to the Savannah area, you went on this website where pedophiles, that's people who have violated a child sexually, just in case you don't know. that you can go to a website and find out where they live. How many of y'all, when y'all moved to Savannah, Steve, when y'all moved to Savannah, did you go to that website and say, I want to find the highest concentration of where all the pedophiles are because I want to live right in the center of them? Any of y'all do that? Did y'all do that when y'all moved to Bluffton? So I want to live right next door to a pedophile because they're good people. Absolutely not. When you were buying your house or purchasing your house or renting your house and you knocked on the next door neighbor's door and you walked to the door and he was dressed in all black, had a cross upside down, had blood hanging from his fingertips and said, hey, listen, I'm a Satan worshiper. Did you, I was gonna bid low on this house, but I want to pay full price for it now. No. Why is it that you don't want to be around those people? Because they're vile. And listen, I promise you, if you found out there were pedophiles in your neighborhood two doors down, especially just now having a little girl, I mean a boy, but especially a girl, Jeff, you'd find a for sale sign on your way home, wouldn't you, son? Y'all would. But please understand, these people are in hell right now. And if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell with them for all eternity, right next to them. You'll never be able to see them, but you'll be rubbing elbows with them. Scripture says that hell is always increasing in size, and that's because the vast number of people who are always dumping into hell. You're going to be elbow to elbow with murderers, adulterers, drug addicts, magicians, soothsayers, Satanists, pedophiles, murderers, and you're choosing it. But that's not all. There's one more issue that we need to see about hell this morning. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest. There will never be peace. Brother Kyle, what do you want me to see there? Two things. No rest and no peace. Do you know why that you do everything that you do in life? Everything. Think about this. Everything you do for two reasons. That you will be able to experience rest at the end of the day. There's some of y'all laugh and cut up, but you get up every morning and go to work just so that you can have rest at the end of the day, right? You do everything you do so you can have peace. Well, why can't I have peace? Why can't I have peace? Listen to me. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you will never, ever have peace on this earth, and you'll never have peace in eternity. If you don't accept Christ, you're never going to have rest on this earth. Jesus is the only thing that can give you perfect rest and perfect peace. If you don't accept Jesus here on this earth, you will never, ever, ever experience perfect rest and perfect peace. Church, hell was not created for you. Scripture tells us that it was created for the devil and his angels. But if you die without accepting Jesus as your Savior, it will be your home for eternity. Now, please know that God has never nor will He ever choose to send anyone who has ever lived to hell. God doesn't choose that. God does not choose to send you to hell if you go to hell. If you go to hell, it's your own choosing. Today, right now, you can choose Jesus and choose to live with Him forever in heaven. Listen, church, this is the shortest life you will ever live. It's so short. My heavens, John, it seems like yesterday I was sitting in a kindergarten class, 5 years old. I was getting ready to turn six. They had made me one of those little crowns to put on your head. They had a cake made of soap. We didn't have real cake. We were poor back then. But everybody had the same cake, and we sang happy birthday to each other. It seems like yesterday. I'll be 49 years old this year. I mean, I was like, 49, that's young. Well, yeah, I mean, you've experienced a little more than I have. But this life is short. This is the shortest life we're ever going to live. We've got to be prepared for the next one. Brother Kyle, I have a question. You mentioned earlier about Jesus coming. How soon do you think it's going to be till Jesus comes and raptures the church? It could be any second. It could be before we finish this message. Well, what happens if I am lost and I don't accept Jesus as my personal Savior? You just heard the gospel message. And if Christ comes to rapture His church, Scripture says that you will not accept Jesus as your personal Savior ever, ever, ever. Scripture says you'll believe a lie. And that lie is that the Antichrist will be the Christ. You'll believe that. You'll take the mark of the beast, and you'll suffer through 7 years tribulation. Does anybody want to sign up for that? We had a sign-up sheet last week for the men's event. Anybody want to sign up for that? Right now, you have an opportunity to accept Christ as your personal Savior, to spend eternity with Him and avoid all of this that we've talked about this morning about hell. Person here who's here this morning, you say, well, Brother Kyle, I've been saved for all these years. Is there any evidence of salvation in your life? Is there a hunger and a thirst, a desire to learn more and to be more for Jesus, to do more for Jesus? See, those are evidences that your salvation is real. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. The altar is open right now. You don't have to wait for the music to start. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, if there's somebody here this morning that you brought here this morning who knows they're lost, I pray that you would give them the fortitude and the strength to walk down the aisle, to let me or somebody show them what they need to do to expend eternity with you in heaven. Every single person has to do the same thing. It's scriptural, Lord. I pray that you give that person the strength to walk down the aisle right now, Lord Jesus, please. Let your Spirit move. In Jesus' name I do pray, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Do you need to come? I'm standing right here. You can be the first. Will you come? Do you want to know Jesus?